Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Our show and tell this morning is five steps of leadership development. You may have seen or heard this in other settings. This one comes to us from a Christian leadership blog. The five steps of leadership development. The first step, I do, and you watch, and then we talk. The second step, I do it, and you help, and then we talk. The third step, you do it, and I help, and we talk. The fourth step, you do it, and I watch, and then we talk. And then the fifth step, you do it and someone else watches. You've become not just the learner, but you have become the leader yourself. Among the things that Jesus does in the Gospels is to develop leaders, these apostles who are sent out to continue Jesus' mission in the world. And they have to deal with those steps four and five as well, that time when they start doing and they don't have the same kind of support from Jesus, their teacher, as they move into those next steps of leadership. Today, the disciples are going to begin taking over Jesus' work without Jesus being visibly present. Now, he's still with us in the Holy Spirit, but that transition from being able to see Jesus and reach out and touch him and ask him questions out loud and get answers out loud, that time has ended, and this transition is really difficult because now the disciples are not going to know for certain everything that Jesus knows. You'll never know everything that you need to know before you encounter it, in fact. So if today's scripture reading brings up a little anxiety in you, as you have probably gone through some of those same transitions yourself, well, you're in good company. The apostles are right there with you. The scripture reading tells the story of Jesus' ascension. 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus' body was lifted up, carried up into heaven. We read another version of this same story last week. Luke's gospel ends with kind of a teaser for the second volume of the story, which is the book of Acts. And this week's story and next week's story are actually going to overlap, so we'll hear the ascension itself both this week and next, as well as last week. We will hear Jesus lifted up into heaven, and this week we will hear what leads right up to that. Next week we will hear what happens following that event. The ascension is so important that we need to hear it more than once, more than twice even, because it prompts this big question. If Jesus is not with us in a human body, how do we move forward? What do we do next? How do we continue what Jesus is doing in the world? So our scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Will you pray with me? Lord, dwell with us. Open the scriptures to us to make us wise. Tell us the good news of resurrection and set our hearts on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
The book of Acts begins with a little dedication.
In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why do you stand looking up to heaven? Those same two guys in white were there at the resurrection, and they were asking the same kind of impertinent question then. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? I don't know, maybe because that's where Jesus just went? But Jesus just promised that we would receive power, not his body, but his spirit. He promised that we would live into the kingdom of God coming to earth, which means that our work toward the presence of God is right here, not somewhere beyond this world. On Monday evenings, the Contemporary Issues class has been discussing practices for how we can attend to God's activity in the world. The church is a lot better at talking about God than we are about seeing God in the world. I know I sure am. We have inherited centuries of really good, solid, reformed tradition that makes us really good at deep reflection about God, but really kind of dicey when it comes to actual tangible experiences of God, especially among Presbyterian cultures like ours, predominantly white, well-educated, comfortable in this world. It's tempting for us to be just kind of reserved and arm's length as we go through life. And this way of being has its selling points. We have reason to be suspicious of anyone who claims that they have all of the answers, because if they claim to have all of the answers, they may well be trying to sell something. Or maybe we have sold something to ourselves. We've convinced ourselves that we have all of the answers, or all the answers we're interested in anyway. And we can use that as a way to ignore the very real needs of our neighbors around us. Because I feel, you know, good enough, and I feel kind of vaguely spiritual. The word for that is spiritual bypass. When we run into difficulties in life and we say, oh, that'll all be fine because Jesus. It's more complicated than that, isn't it? That critical distance can be a way for us to just live out those biases of class or status, as if knowing facts and philosophy was how we know the reality of who God is in the world. We're studying this in Contemporary Issues, okay, honestly, because they're a ready-made study group that I can just sort of throw topics at. But we're studying this in Contemporary Issues. The rationale is because we suspect that part of the overall decline in the church in North America and in the northern and western world generally, part of that decline comes because the church is really good at telling us how to behave, and less good at showing us where God is and what God is up to in the world. Now, behavior matters, and there are a lot of Christians who teach ethics more clearly and more forcefully than I do, and they're not wrong either. But what we really need, even beyond good ethics, what we really need is good wonder. A sense of wonder that lets us notice God at work in the world and to tell about it, to be witnesses. A witness doesn't have to have all of the theory worked out. A witness doesn't have to tell the whole story. A witness just shares what they see and what they know. And to be a good witness is to share that story with humility because we know it's only part of the story. So I wonder, where do you see the kingdom of God breaking into this world? Where do you see and notice the power of God filling this good creation? Share that with us in a comment right here on the Facebook video. There may be some really easy places to see that, like in the grace of the natural world when morning breaks like the first morning, or when spring bounces back from the bleakness of winter. It might be easy to see in the promise of bounty that is promised to us by seeds going into fields and newborn calves wobbling around pastures. We might see the grace of the natural world in growth that overcomes disruption, where humans have uprooted or torn down or poisoned the air. But we can also see that grace, that power breaking into the world where families and neighbors care for each other. In the heroism of medical professionals, especially this past 13 months and more, in vaccinated grandparents safely hugging their grandchildren again, in public food pantries and refrigerators where people share as they are able and receive as they need because communities don't give up caring for each other. It is hardest and maybe most important for us to seek the kingdom of God where it is not so obvious, where my well-being depends on my neighbor having what they need, even if what they need is something that I thought I needed before, whether that's medical treatment or food or work or housing. We seek the kingdom where the Holy Spirit leads us to speak truth and to hear hard truths about ourselves from our neighbors, our families, our loved ones. We seek the kingdom of God where Jesus' name is speaking grace to people that I would rather not include in my own personal image of God's kingdom. The power of the Holy Spirit is with us when we live into God's kingdom, when Jesus gathers this community that he gave his very life for. And then, of course, as we know, God's power gave Jesus' life back to him. The Holy Spirit gives that same power of life to us as we bear witness to life in the church and the community around us, including where you are seeing it right now. We practice seeing the power of the Holy Spirit right here at this table so that we can bear witness to the Holy Spirit wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission today lifts up the Cross Outreach Back to School Supply Giveaway. Cross Outreach is our May Coins for Concern partner. The Cross Outreach Back to School Giveaway every year provides school supplies for over 1,000 students in local schools. When there is not a pandemic, we enjoy the big giveaway day with families from all over working together with volunteers to get those supplies into the hands of the kids. Due to the pandemic, that giveaway will not happen in person this year, but instead, Cross will provide supplies directly to the Des Moines Public Schools, who will then distribute those supplies to students in need. Des Moines Public Schools serves the highest percentage of students in financial need of any district in Polk County. Along with those school supplies, students also receive grade-appropriate books donated by the Clive Public Library. Covenant is storing a dozen boxes of these books until it's time to give them to the school district. So our prayer of dedication today will bless not only the back-to-school giveaway in general, but the books themselves that will be given to students in Des Moines. To contribute to Coins for Concern, all you need to do is write Coins for Concern on the memo line of your check or designate your electronic gift that way.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.